is a good recording, man. Yeah, I can dig it.
Solid. Right on. What's up?
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin, my friend. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
Doing great, man. It's warm weather's.
Yeah, it's definitely nice. The fog is puts a little bit of a damper on it, though.
Yeah, but you know, the snow and ice is disappearing.
Yes, thank the Lord.
By the end of next week, it should just about all be gone, right? And so that's always exciting. But anyway, I want to welcome to the listening audience a young man who, you know, I remember him as a younger man. Bright eyes, always with the greatest smile, greatest disposition of any young person I had ever seen. And he has now risen to the position of Milwaukee County Executive, none other than, I still think, and I've always said it from the first time I met him, one of my favorite politicians in the entire nation. None other than County Executive David Crowley. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing well. I appreciate that introduction. I love you, brother. Appreciate all the work you're doing.
Well, you know, man, you know, it's true, right? Ever since you were a really young guy, I always said you'd always be on the show. I'd always say, hey, he's come on, man. This is my favorite politician. And, man, well, you have done some great work. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right, you got something you want to talk about?
You know, I do. You know, I've had an opportunity, and I appreciate the opportunities to be able to talk about, you know, a lot of the great work that we have been doing, you know, all across Milwaukee County. And I just have to, you know, let listeners know that a lot of this work that we have been embarking on, we wouldn't have been able to do if it wasn't for President Biden's and Vice President Harris's investments in Milwaukee. And not just in Milwaukee, right? We're talking about the entire
country.
State of Wisconsin.
Yeah, country.
The entire country, absolutely. And, I mean, we think about particularly this bipartisan infrastructure law. It's one of the reasons why he's in Wisconsin today, because of the $1 billion that they're going to be investing to bring better connectivity to the residents of this state. And when I think about the bipartisan infrastructure law, it's not just about, you know, what this president has done as it relates to rebuilding our roads, our highways, our bridges, but the investments in internet, right, in broadband across this state, the investments in our airport in Milwaukee County, the investments in just making sure that we're doing what we can to move people all across this state and really put our money where our mouth is and not just talk the talk. Right. He's not out there talking about an infrastructure week like the former president was doing. He's literally putting his money where his mouth is and making sure to invest in American people. And I just really want to get that message out there.
You know, County Executive, Milwaukee County Executive Crowley, man, let's look at Milwaukee County and the roads. Right. You've been the county executive now for a little over 2 years. Right. So
yes.
Look at the impact of just the roads, right? Come on, man.
I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, we're talking brick and mortar. We're talking, again, we're talking about the roads. And I will say that, I mean, even when you think about, you know, in the middle of this pandemic, what folks have been able to do with the American Rescue Plan Act dollars. I mean, we're talking about more affordable housing, and not just in the city of Milwaukee, but the largest push that we have seen in suburban communities in the Milwaukee County area. We are really talking about a shift in the way that we are investing in our entire nation. And quite frankly, we haven't seen this level of investment in quite some time. To be honest, I don't think we've seen this level of investment in my lifetime. And so to have President Biden at the helm, it's important that folks understand that these elections that's coming up in November, this isn't a joke. We've talked about every election being the most important election. But let's be real. We have never seen our democracy, our system come under attack like it has. And so for us, as people who live here, who wants to see our communities, our local communities, and our country grow, it's important that we give the three T's. And that's making sure that we give our time, you know, making phone calls, knocking on doors, telling the this administration, utilizing our talents to bring awareness, but also utilizing pressure to make sure this administration over the finish line and to win another 4 years to invest back into the American people.
You know, Executive Crowley, I just, from a selfish standpoint, am a guy who enjoys our beautiful parks and especially down by the lake. And there's an old bridge, mm-hmm. pedestrian bridge, that must have been beautiful when it was erected long ago, that was crumbling, had been shut down. You mm-hmm. couldn't walk. Are you familiar with the bridge I'm talking about? Well, it's a bridge, man, that they absolutely, completely redid in the last, you know, 2 years. And I know
yes.
and it had been shut down, man, for 10 years. And so,
you know, I know exactly what park you're talking about, and
it's right across. Yeah,
by Lake Bistro.
Yes.
And that was a bridge that, you know, working hand in hand with County Supervisor Sheldon Wasserman, right? That was key in making sure that we got that bridge opened up, because as you pointed out, it was dilapidated. People could not walk across that bridge. And so we were able to make those investments. And now we're actually looking and making to even more investments into that area. When you check out that Levine Road that's actually down there right by the lake, which hasn't been used in so many years. And these are the opportunities. These are the projects that we're talking about. $6.1 billion coming to the state of Wisconsin, already slated to go towards 350-plus projects. Now, if you break that down by county, we're talking about a minimum of 5 projects per county. And so these are real dollars. These are real investments coming back to this community. And we have to continue, particularly as Democrats, tell the good news of what we've been able to do within the past 4 years. But also remind folks of what was happening prior to President Biden's administration. We have to remember that we were looking at politics, we were looking at our federal government as if it was a reality show. People were tuning in to news stations and radio stations to figure out, okay, what crazy thing has happened today in the White House? And we don't need that. We need somebody who's going to bring a steady hand, that's going to bring, you know, the values of the American people to light and continue to fight for this country and the most vulnerable residents that live here.
You know, Executive Crowley, we're in rural areas all across the state, and for people who may not lean towards Democrats, they have to understand that the infrastructure bill was not just designated for Democrats, right?
Oh, it is absolutely not designated just for Democrats, right? And we know that many rural communities across the state have extreme difficulties when it comes down to improving and repaving their roads. And these are dollars that are going to help do exactly that. I will tell you that I had the opportunity to be on a panel with another county executive, and we were talking about the dollars that came from the federal government, from the Biden administration. And while we continue to have this conversation, people are talking about, oh, we're spending too much money, we're doing this, we're doing that. But look, people will always say and vote no, particularly on the Republican side. But you know what they've been doing? They've been going out, hitting the streets, and actually taking credit for all the dough that's being spent in these communities. And we don't need that. We need folks who are going to be open and honest with the American people and the people that they represent. And so when we think about particularly clean water, right, we know that clean water is a huge issue in the state of Wisconsin. The level of PFAS that we have in many rural communities, you know, that's not too far from our livestock and the farms that we rely on. And so if we want to make sure that our livestock and the people who are taking care of these farms have access you know, equitable access to clean water, we have to recognize that these dollars that are making these investments are coming directly from the federal government. And so it's great to not only have President Biden, but it's also great to have folks like Senator Tammy Baldwin and Governor Tony Evers, who's been critical in making sure that they're intentional in how these dollars are reaching the people on the ground, especially in suburban and rural areas.
Executive Crowley, it is, you know, you talked about in your lifetime with the roads and whatnot. You know, I clearly been around, you know, a couple days longer than you, and never saw. We constantly, for a couple decades or more, clamored about the roads. They were horrible, right? They were like minefields, the highways, all of that. The last couple of years, there were cones everywhere, man. The complete reconstruction of our highways, you know, all over this nation, man. That had not been done for 30 years. They got it done.
In the past 4 years, we've been fortunate to have three seasons in Wisconsin. And those three seasons is summer, winter, and construction. And the more and more we see this construction happening, you can see the investments. And when we're seeing this level of investments, it lets me know a few things. One, we are putting people to work. People have the ability to learn some skilled trades, find some good paying jobs, family sustainable jobs, while also making sure that we're providing the roadways that folks absolutely need on an everyday basis. We're making sure to invest in the health of our entire community, because if we're giving people the opportunity to work good paying jobs, have access to affordable and quality homes, we're investing in the health of our entire state and our entire country. And that's what I'm really excited about. You know, this year, this is a real opportunity, not only for us to talk about the good news, but really deliver for the people of this nation.
So I know you're busy, man. And I got to get you back in here in the studio to talk about all the great things that are going on in Milwaukee County.
Oh, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's been a while.
All right. Listen, I know you got to run. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, still my favorite politician. You know, you get the honor of being called a politician and not a politrickster. That's an amazing thing.
I like public servant, but I'll take that.
All right. Take it easy, man. Kiss the babies for me.
I will.
All right. None other than my good friend, County Executive, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, 844-967-2789. Fabulous OJs and I want to do this. I want to talk about a couple things, and I see you on the phone lines, but I'll come to you in a second. So Wisconsin legislators, I don't man it's something about, you know, Wisconsin legislators that I don't understand. So Wisconsin legislators agree there's a greater need for civics education and divided about whether a new bill would be the best path forward. The bill would require that the State Department of Public Instruction to develop a civics education curriculum for kindergarten through high school, which I think already exists. Calvin, did you have civics in school?
It was kind of part of my history classes, but yeah, I remember learning about how the government works.
Yeah, it would also revise the credits needed to earn a high school diploma. Now, what they proposed is emphasizes patriotism and contrasts the U.S. system of government with communism, socialism, and totalitarianism. So wait a minute. So I don't have any problem with teaching civics, right? Children need to know civics. Americans, people need to know civics. They need to know how the government works. So I'm with the Republicans on that. There's so many people in this nation that don't know how our government works. They don't know the three branches of government. They know very little, and it's one of the reasons why we can be in a situation like we are in this country and not knowing all the things that are happening around us that impact and affect our lives on a daily basis, and we don't know anything about it because we don't know civics. But when you throw in patriotism, so Calvin, what do they mean by teaching patriotism?
Yeah, I don't know. That's an odd one, I guess. Just how great America is. I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's basically, we want to teach young people just how great a nation we are. And they need to understand we're the greatest nation on earth. And rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, and wave the flag. And listen, patriotism is not waving a flag. Patriotism is not celebrating the 4th of July. Patriotism is having the courage to challenge the nation when the nation is off, you know, it's kilter. We're right now at a point with our nation where we can talk about patriotism, but listen, look at the divide that's going on in this nation right now. A Congress that can't sit down at the same table and sup, you know, can't sit down and get anything passed. What do you mean patriotism? The Congress, are they patriots? The people who are elected officials, do they understand patriotism? Do they need to know what that is? And what is that? Patriotism to one person is not patriotism to another person. And so to say we need to teach patriotism to kids in school is ridiculous. You want to cut out history in the schools, but now you want to bring in something esoteric like the term of patriotism. 844-967-2789. I say I don't understand Republicans. You know, and I guess anything that sounds like it makes sense and that is like throwing raw meat, you know, to the lions, they're going to do that. So some guy sits around, a legislator. Oh, and then he doesn't sit around. He actually reads because this passed in Florida. They're doing this in Florida schools because that's all they do is pass on these kinds of things that are taking place in other conservative enclaves. And so because it's been passed in Florida, they now think it should be done in Wisconsin. But I'm opposed to so-called teaching patriotism in the public schools. You want to do that in private schools, you know, by all means. But there is, when you look under the definition of patriotism, you know, and it's in the eye of the beholder. And to say that we should teach that to children, I think is absolutely ridiculous, especially at the same time, and I'll get to you on the phone line in a second, there's another bill that Republicans are, you know, bringing pressure on universities. Now it's in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Republicans reintroduce a bill to punish colleges for free speech violations. Hey, wait a minute. Oh, so free speech violations. In many instances, you don't want students to be able to have the freedom to say the things that they believe and that they feel and that they are constitutionally protected to say because they're not in line with what Republicans believe. So you want to bring pressure on universities to control the freedom of speech on their campuses. Which is it? So you can't say, well, you can't say it because you do it. You want the schools to be forced to teach patriotism, you know, grade school through high school. But then in universities, you want to challenge the free speech of the students once they get to the university. Hey, I don't know how you spell it, Calvin, but hypocrisy. I don't care how you spell it. That's hypocrisy, man. And so those of you who don't think there's anything wrong with that, or, you know, 844-967-2789. You got an opinion on everything else. What's your opinion on this? 844-967-2789. You know, you're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. At 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, before we went to break, I was talking about, you know, Republicans want, you know, civics taught in public schools. And civics is already being taught in schools, maybe not to the degree, that it needs to be taught because many adults don't know how government works at all. Government is complicated. It's complex. And, you know, when they're teaching, and especially even if they're teaching civics, they're not teaching the lobbyists. They teach you all these other things, but they don't teach you about, you know, what Tom always talks about with lobbyists who come in and basically control and own your elected officials, the people you elect. But so that's not, you know, I'm not opposed to that. But when you want to throw in patriotism, somebody's going to teach their definition of patriotism to children. I don't understand how, on one hand, you want to ban books, you want to do away with the history of the nation, but then you want patriotism to be taught. And at the same time, the same Republicans want to punish universities for students having freedom of speech on the campuses. What kind of world do we live in? Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom, man. Am I talking gibberish?
Not at all. Good for you, Earl. First off, I need you to check in with Coach Al and make sure he's okay with the music this morning because he might be liking it a little bit better. So, Al, if you're out there, make sure you got that radio turned up doing the music. Second, I wonder if Ron Johnson thinks it's very patriotic to spend the 4th of July in Russia along with his other 12 colleagues that, even the Russians said it was a very easy conversation that they had with the GOP senators and one House member. So I wonder if they think that's patriotic. One of the other things, David Crowley can, or Joe Biden can use my moniker that people call me out here, which is Tom Adler, your results master, because we get results. We're not just talk. There's actually results that get done. And I think that's something Joe Biden needs to push, is that we get results for people. And then fourth, I don't understand how anybody in the state of Wisconsin can ever vote Republican or ever vote for anyone that doesn't take the Medicaid dollars from the federal government.
Oh, man.
And you have hospitals in the rural areas that would still be probably thriving or still be open. Sacred Heart's closing down in Eau Claire. Another hospital's closing in Chippewa Falls. If they would have just taken the Medicaid dollars, that would not be happening. So all you people out there that vote Republican and you don't have a hospital to go to except for a corporate hospital, just look at yourself in the mirror because you were a part of that. And you should be voting for the people that actually want to take the Medicaid dollars. And thank you very much for giving us some of that money in California. Being the fifth largest economy in the world. I know these guys like call in and bash on California sometimes. We are the fifth largest economy in the world, and we thank you very much for your Republican dollars and you Republican voters that gave us that money instead of giving it to yourself when you actually earned it.
You know, Tom.
Don't talk to me Republicans about tax breaks and stuff because you don't even give the money that is given to you by the federal government to keep things alive.
You know, Tom, they did the same thing with high-speed rail. We had all an opportunity in this state 10 years ago, Scott Walker again and Republicans, turned down the high-speed rail money. California took it. You know what I mean? Other states across the nation took it. And we in Wisconsin were left without anything. But again, man, this just goes to show, Tom, when we're talking about teaching patriotism, right? So what does that include? Well, the military. Well, part of patriotism is our military. And so how are they going to teach that? And why is it important to, now you want to talk about indoctrination, Tom? Indoctrination is teaching our young people that the military is more important than the people of this nation, because we're going to continue to spend the money on the military more so than we are on the sick, the infirm, the elderly, the young. And is that what we want taught in the schools?
All be good Germans. Want us all to follow lockstep with another dictator from the past, Hitler, and just do what they say. And you know what? And if someone has a curiosity about a book, they say, oh, people can't read. Kids can't read. Well, you're taking their damn books away. So it's just, like I said, Democrats are result-driven. We do investing, and we get a return on our investment. Republicans spend and put it on a credit card and hope that someday someone's going to pay it. They are. I'm sorry. I try to be bipartisan on this stuff, but the results are there. the results are showing us where it is that it's all politics on one side of the aisle, and on the other side, it is about results. And David Crowley is a great example of a results-driven politician. And those are the types of people we need that actually help uplift us and bring we the people government back to we the people.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call, as always. Let me jump here, man. I'm really trying hard, Calvin, not to really every day talk about Donald Trump. But, man, Donald Trump is going to be the nominee for the Republicans in the 2024 presidential election. I don't care what anybody says. We all know it's true. Yes, Nikki Haley is still around, but come on. Come on. So listen to this, man. This is the person that they're supporting. Former President Trump railed against GOP primary opponent Nikki Haley on yesterday and warned that anyone who contributes to her campaign would be permanently barred from Calvin, from the MAGA camp. Can you imagine where the violins? You're being barred from the MAGA camp if you donate to Nikki Haley. So let me see. That's a hell of a punishment, right? I mean, man, what's the next step to that death? Being barred from the MAGA camp. When I ran for office and won, I noticed that the losing candidates' donors would immediately come to me and want to help out. This is standard in politics, but no longer with me, Trump wrote in a post on his Truth Social. Anybody that makes a contribution to Bird Brain, he's talking about Nikki Haley, right? Man, he is as childish as any person. He doesn't even appear to be an adult. Got to call somebody a name. So anybody that makes a contribution to Bird Brain from this moment forth will be permanently barred from the MAGA camp. So what do they do? What do they do in the MAGA camp, Calvin? Do you know? There must be something going on in the MAGA camp that makes us all want to be a part of it.
The MAGA camp makes it sound like they're doing like arts and crafts or something.
Hey, they'll be permanently barred from the MAGA camp. You know, maybe there's some folk in the audience who know, you know, what that means. We don't want them, and we will not accept them because we put America first and always will. Trump continue using the nickname Bird Brain to refer to Haley. Trump's direct threat against Haley's supporters signals a sharpening in his rhetoric as the former president seeks to compel support from all corners of the GOP. Now, Trump attacked Haley. Trump attacked Haley in his victory speech Tuesday as he stood in front of two former primary opponents. Lapdogs, actually, is who they are, Vivek Ramaswamy, and I had the Lapdogs. And what's the guy's name? Senator Tim Scott, who bucked his eyes and said, "I love you." Come on, man. Come on. Come on, man. I love you. Senator Scott, you really love Donald Trump, and to buck your eyes on national television and send that message is shameful. I have to tell you, it was very interesting because I said, wow, what a great victory. But then somebody ran up to the stage all dressed up nicely when it was at 7. But now I just walked up and it was at 14, Trump said, mocking Haley for the positive tone of her remarks to supporters after the race was called in his favor. Let's not have somebody take a victory when she had a very bad night. She had a very, very bad night, Trump said. Hey, Steven, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good morning to you, Earl. Jesus, where do I begin with this Trump stuff? You know, you really don't want to talk about it on a day-to-day basis, but you have to because this is the future of our country. And it
could possibly be. Could possibly be.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I remember I was a young boy. I'm not a very old dude myself. But I remember a time where someone like Trump, if he was running for president, wouldn't have been given the light of day. He'd have been laughed right out of the race and right out of the party, to be honest with you. And the fact that this dude is taken seriously and has a following in and of itself is terrifying to me, that there's enough people that think what he says, what he does, and how he acts is okay. And then to elect him to the highest office in the land and have him attempt to overthrow our government and then want to put him back in there again after seeing that, I just don't get it. I can't rack my brain around the thought process of someone who thinks, this is exactly who I want running my country. I do not get it. I never will get it. And it scares me that he can get such a large amount of people to come out for him and say things and throw insults that I would have thrown when I was in second grade towards his opponent. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
You know, man, later on in the show, I'm going to explain why. Why there are people and who the people are who continue to support a man that is, you know, the most dangerous possible president that there's ever been in the history of this nation. That's not, you know, that's not innuendo, you know. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
He knows healthy life.
This is the Shaw WAU.
At 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. The red-blue divide. The United States appears to be increasingly politically divided between red states and blue states to the point that many serious public voices on both sides are urging that the country seriously consider separating along a red-blue divide. Wait, oh, hey, Calvin, wait a minute. Didn't we try that before? I mean, wasn't there a time, maybe I slept through the history part of that, but didn't our nation go through a red-blue divide before, Calvin? What was that called?
Yeah, you know, Earl, I think that's ringing a bell. I think it was called the Civil War.
Yes. So there are people today advocating that today? Let's do this. You got your hand on that dump button, man? Okay. Al from Milwaukee. Good morning, Al. What's going on? Hey, Al. Okay, I don't know what Al is doing, but anyway, let's give one more shot. Al.
I hear you. Okay.
What you doing, man?
Hello.
Yeah, what's happening?
Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on? You must be in your car, and you got dealing with that Bluetooth. So we'll come back to you. That newfangled invention that you apparently have not been able to figure out yet. But anyway, I don't take it personally. I have trouble with it myself at times. But listen, a range of disagreements between, okay, let's say Al sounds like he's back. Al.
Yeah, the music woke me up.
So what about the music today?
I said the music woke me up.
Okay. Hey, man. Hey, so you no complaints about the music today?
Oh no. That's good wake up music. Anyway.
hey man, what's this divide? The divide in this nation. There are people asking,
fear.
Huh?
Fear. F-E-A-R.
Fear of what, Al? We're in America. Who's coming into America? Al, who's coming into America threatening the nations of this country? Who what nation is doing that?
Jesus.
Come on, man.
I'm not saying that to be funny.
So explain it.
These people who have been running this nation for all these years, their numbers are dropping, and they are afraid that if the majority takes over, they're going to do to them what they did to everybody else. It's fear. It's all about fear.
So, yeah, but Al.
You know, you remember you talking about history, the carpetbaggers.
Oh, yeah.
And when the Dixiecrats and all these people were switching from party to party, it was about fear of losing control and not being able to maintain slavery and all of these other things. This is the same garbage that we're going through right now.
You know, Al. I keep hearing people talk about fear, fear, fear. You know, our nation is segregated in many instances. And, you know, outside of cities, our nation is very segregated still, right? And, yeah. And so, you know, I don't know what the fear is. People who live in cities and people who live in rural areas. You just take Wisconsin for an example. There's very little chance that those two ever intertwine.
And they want to keep it that way.
I know, but where's the fear? So what's the fear of?
Losing power, losing land. The people who own the majority of the land are the ones they think are in control, and they're afraid that someone is going to come and take it away from them.
And so
it's all about fear and about power.
And so Trump understands that, and he keeps feeding that. Is it safe to say that?
That's correct. And he's been doing it ever since he's been old enough to take over his father's company. He's a shyster. He's been that way all of his life.
Hey, Al, thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. Your thoughts? You know, our nation is divided. They see, clear to say, a nation divided cannot stand. It's not just, you know, verbally. We've got to understand where we are in prophecy, and we've got to understand where we are in reality. And anybody who thinks that our nation is going to be able to continue to prosper with this kind of a divide, the only saving grace, and we're going to talk about it on the other side are young people, Calvin's age, his generation, because they're not caught up in this foolishness that we're caught up in. It's always been the young people who've been able to save our nation from going wrong. We're going to talk about some great things that young people are doing now to make sure that there is a future in this nation, and it's not going to include my generation. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into The Earl Ingram Show.